with food being prepared behind him, surrounded by family and life. And yet, he still finds a way to complain. And how many of us live every day in that same situation with our families? Yeah, we're raising your hands. You can raise your hands. That's great. Almost all of us, right? I mean, here's what happens is life is full of problems. And life's problems distract us from giving thanks. And if you don't think that's true, here's a number one indicator that life's problems have distracted you from being thankful for all that you have. Your number one indicator is complaining. And so we're doing this series, we're talking about taming tongues. And you know, we've been talking about how no man can tame the tongue. And you can't tame your tongue. We can tame all kinds of animals, but we can't tame our own tongue. And so what we have to do, because you cannot tame your tongue, is we have to tame what goes in to our hearts and into our eyes and into our ears and into our minds. And then once we tame what comes in, the good man brings out good things from the good stored up in his heart, but the evil man brings out evil things from the evil stored up in his heart. So we have to tame what goes in before we can tame what goes out. And so what needs to go in is gratitude, so that we can be thankful and not complainers. I want to show you another video here in a second, but before I do that, I want to talk to you about some of life's problems that have caused me to complain. And I want you to think about this past week. What are some things that you've complained about? This is just this week I made this list. I had my throat hurt early in the week. I had a little bit of a sore throat. I complained about that. I was going to pick up pizza for my family, and the gas light came on, and I had to stop for gas on my way to get pizza. And I was complaining about that. Oh, stupid gas. Why didn't Allie fill up the car? My son Cole, he splashed water out of the bathtub. It got on my jeans. And I was like, Allie, come get this kid. He poured water all over my jeans. Complaining. And he poured it on the bath mat so much we had to dry it in the dryer. Ugh. I complained about, I built a headboard for our king-size bed, and I stained the wood, and it smelled bad. Complained about that. I've got some ugly trees in my backyard that I complained about this week that I wanted to have taken out. I mean, they were ugly, these trees. This is the worst. My internet was messed up. Ugh. I mean, it wasn't like totally messed up. All I had to do was I had to turn, airport off and then turn it back on and then it was fine. But I had to keep doing that. I mean, come on! I'm yelling through the house. What is wrong with this internet? And we complain. And life's problems distract us from giving thanks. I was like Daryl, sitting in a comfy chair, surrounded by family in a great house, finding something to complain about. I call these things first world problems. If you've ever heard the term third world, that's talking about, you know, a third of the world lives in just extreme, extreme, extreme poverty. And we live in the first third, where we live in extreme, extreme wealth. No matter who you are, just by merit of the fact that you're sitting in this room and you traveled by vehicle to this property today, and you have probably put a donut or some form of liquid in your mouth, you are in the richest top probably 5% of people in the world. If you look up my salary, which I work at a church, I don't get paid $1 million a year, but if you look up my salary on this website that tracks what percentage of wealth you're in, I'm in the top 1% of richest people in the world. I am. And most of your families have a lot more than I do, so you're probably in the top 0.5% of richest people in the world. And yet, we still allow these little first world problems. My internet's messed up. My kid spilled water on my leg. All these different things. These little first world problems to distract us from giving thanks. So this is a brilliant video. I love this. It's a YouTube video made by a high school kid. It was a project he did for school about the first world and the third world. It's called First World Problems. Check it out and see if you can relate to any of these things.
People of the first world, yeah.
We got these first world problems.
My fridge is so full I have to reach way back, and my sports car doesn't even have an audio jack. My laptop battery is low, but the charger's over there. I can never find the right lid for my Tupperware. I woke up at noon. Do I eat breakfast or lunch? I don't like organic milk, and we don't have fruit punch. My neighbors put a password on their high-speed Wi-Fi, and the freezer makes my ice cream hard to scoop. Why try? My hot water ran out in the shower, which sucks because I was only in there for half hour. The other side of my pillow is not much cooler. There's no measure for inches or feet on this ruler. Something just beeped and I don't know what it was. Was it my Roomba, convection oven, or just Google Buzz? There's some cereal left, but not enough to make a bowl. I hate replacing batteries on my Wii remote control. People keep texting me when I'm playing Tiny Wings. My cleaning lady's vacuuming, I can't hear anything. I didn't read Shake Well, now I feel like I missed out. And when I opened my birthday card, no money fell out. I meant to turn on the light, but it was the disposal. My vest was in the shop, now how can I be mobile? Netflix is suggesting things I've already seen. And my suit is too fancy for the washing machine. There's a pebble in my shoe, I have to stop and shake it. I have to add water to this cupcake mix, then bake it. My pillow's too soft, and I have too many sheets. And what the heck do I do with all these Starbucks receipts?
Poor guy.
My walk-in closet door is kinda hard to close. And my private school teacher calls my rap songs prose. My fridge doesn't have a touchscreen, first world issue. Killed a spider with a dollar cause I didn't have a tissue.
We got these first world problems.
So can you relate to that? My laptop's battery's low, but the charger's over there. That's what you complain about. I have to add water to this mix and then mix it and then bake it. Oh my gosh. I mean, what are your things you complain about? Annoying relatives? Homework? Teachers? Coaches? Issues with friends? A crush who doesn't notice you? Things that break or don't work right? Things that your parents won't buy you? Physical appearance? We ran out of donuts at Wake? Huh? The line's too long to play ping pong? The line's too long to play Foursquare? You have to walk upstairs? Ho-ho-ho! Think about when we used to be over on the fourth floor, you'd have to walk up all those stairs. I mean, we can think, we are good at coming up with stuff to complain about, aren't we? Now, why is this a problem? I mean, really, like, why is complaining such a problem? Let me just tell you this. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian in this room, if you wouldn't say, I'm 100% sure that I'm a Christian, I want to tell you this. Complaining is totally normal. And I think complaining is natural. It should be expected if you're not a believer. I mean, the Bible says that in this world there will be trouble. It says that we are physically in this world is wasting away. So if you live in a world that is wasting away and falling apart and full of trouble, it is natural to complain about that. That is good. But if you're not a Christian, let me just tell you, it's natural, it's okay to complain, but let that help push you towards a solution. Let it remind you, let it bring your mind to a place where you understand that this world is full of problems and this world is kind of broken and it's kind of messed up. And if you're not a Christian, you need to keep looking for a solution to that problem. Now, if you are a Christian, you're supposed to be a person, you need to cut that out. You're supposed to be a person that knows what the solution is. And because you know that, you should be grateful in all things. Let me show you what the Bible has to say about this. I want you guys to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We'll put it up on the screen. This is what Philippians 2 says, verse 14 and 15. This is a command. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Raise your hand if your parents have ever made you memorize this verse. Anybody? Jessica has, a few of you guys. Yeah, it's an annoying one to memorize, isn't it? Because they can call you on it every time. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why does the Bible tell us to do that? I mean, we live in a broken world where there's problems, right? So why does God say to do everything without complaining or arguing? Even your homework, even Thanksgiving, even, all the things that you don't like to do or want to do, running at your practice, I mean, whatever it is. Here's why you do everything without complaining or arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Well, let me help you connect the dots here. It wants you to do everything, or God wants you to do everything without complaining or arguing so that you can stand out, so that you can be different, so that you can show like a star shining in the night sky where it's all dark and there's one little light and you can see the light. God wants you to be a light, a glimmer of hope that there is a solution, that you are someone that can rise above the problems of this world because you know that another world exists. Being blameless, being pure means that you understand what the root of the problem is and that you found that God is the solution for it. He has provided the solution for it and you have received that and you have been purified of your sin. And for that you are grateful and nothing on this earth is worth complaining when you know an eternal truth, when you know that this world is going away and this world is not all there is. And you can be a child of God, not a child of a broken, fallen world. And so you live in this crooked, depraved, broken generation, but you shine like stars in the universe. This sounds familiar. It's from Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. You're supposed to be a light. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may hear your complaining and praise your Father in heaven. Is that what it says? Did you hear what I said? Let your light shine before men so that they may hear your complaining. Is that what it says? No. I need to hear everybody answer that question. So look at the screen, listen to what I say, see if you have some reading comprehension skills. Let your light shine before men that they may hear your complaining. No. That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So listen, if you're a non-Christian, complaining is not an issue. But if you are a Christian, complaining is a big issue because it does not set you apart at all. You see, complainers don't shine. Everyone complains. Complainers don't shine. Thankful people shine. And this isn't just at Thanksgiving, right? We just happen to be talking about it because it's on our minds and it's the week before Thanksgiving. But when it comes to taming your tongue, you need to figure out what it will take for your heart to be renewed in such a way that you can be a thankful person with your words and not a complainer with your words, griping about all of these first world problems that aren't really problems at all. So I want to provide you a solution, okay? I've already said this, and you can enable this verse because I want to show it again. It's Luke 6:25, or I think it's 6:45, I'm sorry. I already mentioned this earlier, but this is what we talked about the first 2 weeks. Luke 6:45 says this. It says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to speak thankful words and shine and not be a complainer, here's what you have to do. You have to have a heart that is genuinely thankful. If you want to bring thankful words out, you have to have a heart that is stored up with thanksgiving. Now, if you have a heart that is just frustrated and selfish with all the world's problems, complaining is going to come out. So, here's how you have that kind of heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, okay, this is the Bible acknowledging the reality of the world that we live in. Outwardly, we are wasting away. All right? Todd, the pastor over there, has said before that perfect health is just the slowest road to death. So if all of us in here are healthy, we're still all marching, maybe on a slower road than people that are sick, towards death from the moment we're born. All right? Outwardly, our bodies are wasting away. Yet inwardly, this could be true about you. I don't know that it is. Inwardly, we're renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, that's first world problems, are achieving for us eternal glory that far, far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. All right? So taking this verse, here's your application for today. If you want to be a thankful person and not a complainer. And if you're a Christian, you should be convicted that you complain way too much this morning. Here's your application. Is you be inwardly renewed day by day by fixing your eyes on what is unseen and then shine by being thankful. All right, so you've got to have your heart renewed day by day. That means every single day you connect with God, you connect with His Word, and then you fix your eyes on things that you don't normally see. You fix your eyes on Him. you fix your eyes on all the blessings that He has given you. Like Daryl in that first video, he should have had his eyes fixed on the fact that he was in an air-conditioned home, surrounded by family, about to eat some good food, and not on the annoyance of the kids getting in front of the camera and the relatives asking him to help out and all those things. He should have seen it as a privilege to be then and there and not gotten annoyed and bothered. Same thing with me, sitting at my computer. Should I be annoyed that my internet is messed up? Not at all, because I'm in an air-conditioned home with a computer with which I can connect to the outside world. Wow, what a blessing. And it only takes 4 seconds for me to turn airport off and back on. I should be thankful. I should fix my eyes on the things that I don't see. All right? And so I want to show you a little video. And this video is going to sum up about 20 or 30 things that every day most of us go through life and these things are unseen. All right? In this video, I'm going to wrap us up right after. But I want you guys to let your hearts be renewed today, tomorrow, every day you remember this video and this scripture. Let your heart be renewed when you fix your eyes on what is unseen. And then you can shine by being thankful. Because complainers don't shine. Thankful people shine. And if you're a Christian, you are called to be the light of the world and to shine. And you can't do that if you're complaining. So watch this video. It's called Thankful.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
Pretty powerful video there, right at the end, when he prays the same thing that he prayed at the beginning. He didn't fix his eyes on what was unseen. And he didn't see anything that he had in his life to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. We should be shining brighter than anyone else because of the joy that we have, even in the midst of all of the first world problems that we face in a fallen, broken world. We should be thankful. So here's how I want us to close, and I want this to go on outside of this room with your family and friends. But my wife and I play a game in order to keep our hearts thankful, and we call it the Thankful Game. And it's really easy. We basically have a contest to see who can rapid fire come up with the most things to be thankful for. So I say something, she says something. And they have to be things that you're actually thankful for. And so it'll be like this. I'll say, I'm thankful for socks. She'll say, I'm thankful for shoes. I'm thankful for pants. I'm thankful for shirts. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for drink. I'm thankful for our car. I'm thankful for our healthy children. Boom, boom, boom. And we're going back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, you play that long enough and your heart starts to fill up with joy. And you start to genuinely be thankful for all that God has done and all that God has given us. It moves into spiritual things. I'm thankful for the Word of God that guides my steps. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ who died to pay the penalty for my sins. I'm thankful for the hope of heaven. I'm thankful that this earth will one day go away and there will be a new earth. I'm thankful that there are angels that are watching over us. I'm thankful that God will ultimately one day take care of the devil once and for all. I'm thankful that my temptations lead me to Christ. I'm thankful. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to pick a partner. So pick somebody next to you. And I'm going to let you try out the thankful game. And I want it to go on from here in your cars on the way home or with your families or with your friends, whatever you do. So pick a partner. You can pick three people and go.